Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good morning. I'm starting to say good afternoon. I tell you what, I have been up this morning since around 4 a.m. working on some corporate stuff. You know, there's just never enough time in the day. And my main focus over the last few months has been with Ignite 360 as the SVP of sales of that company. My goal is to constantly be generating prospects and leads and overall generate revenue, you know. So some days are better than others. We've got some new initiatives going, and I tell you what, it's keeping me busy. But we are in Chapter 12 of Howard Schultz's book, Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. We could replace the name Starbucks. How you fought for your life without losing your soul. How your company fought for its life without losing its soul. You know, I remember a few years ago, this could have been how Apple fought for its life without losing its soul. Each and every person should do this. Today, when I was over quickly on Facebook popping up that we were on this chapter, you know, I told everybody, if you're in sales, if you're in marketing, if you own a company, you should be listening. You should be going and buying this book. In Chapter 12, Get in the Mud, Howard starts off by saying, I have long believed in the power of a word or a phrase, a single phrase, to effectively communicate a business imperative and to inspire people. The best words are never big or complicated, but are packed with emotion and meaning, leaving no question of what I expect of myself or others. And you know what? That's powerful. See, communication is the key. Not words, but listening to what those words mean. I'll tell you what, I go through this with my guys at Ignite 360. You know, I've been with that company for 5.5 months. And in some ways, we've seen some great things happen. We've had some people come into the organization. We've cranked some stuff out. Not to the caliber of some financial success. I'm going to tell you that right now. We've got some stuff that's happening. But because of different cultures, because I have grown a marketing business in a different manner than they have, because I've been in direct selling most of my adult life, I have times when I get frustrated trying to understand how they communicate, and I got to go back and re-listen to what it is that they say and focus. See, we all go through that communication gap where we got to constantly keep asking questions. We got to keep formulating what is needed. We got to keep trying to move forward. Those are the keys that set successful leaders apart. And that's why when Howard said you got to get in the mud, I thought, well, what am I going to be getting into? But that just that opening sentence, I have long believed in the power of a word or a single phrase to effectively communicate a business imperative and to inspire people. See, what is it that you're going after? I believe in thinking outside the box constantly. I believe the whole concept of a successful business is not to keep doing necessarily the same things that you've always done, because people change. If you're in the marketing business, you know what I'm saying. You don't lose your core, but you constantly have to change things. You got to move to the next level. And then I like this second sentence. The best words are never big or complicated. Maybe that's why Bill O'Reilly's not had him on his show. But they are packed with emotion and meaning, leaving no question of what I expect of myself or others. Listen to what else Howard writes here. Rarely in my career have I actively searched for the right words. They just tend to find me, often in a poignant manner, maybe minutes before addressing a room full of people. During an impassioned, unscripted speech, in a private conversation, or sitting alone in my kitchen drinking a cup of coffee, the concepts that my words convey may be strategic in their intent, but the words themselves are spontaneous. They're just spontaneous manifestations of my love for Starbucks. I feel them before I voice them. I know what Howard's talking about there, because I get that way when I'm helping people. When I'm out here serving others, whether it's my company or whether it's individual distributors, it doesn't matter to me. I am constantly looking for ways that I can help people because I want to be able to change. So I don't script stuff out. I don't go looking for stuff. I do maybe, I don't know, maybe something a little different than Howard. I don't know because I don't know him personally, but I'm constantly praying, Lord, give me the right words to use. Give me something that's going to benefit people. How can I take this to the next level? What can I do that will help people in a big way? It's tough. I'm going to be honest with you. When you're talking to people, when you're trying your best to do what's right, you know that that's a lot of power sitting on your head. And you're sitting here saying, what can I do? How can I make it happen? When I do videos, a lot of times people say, Troy, how long does it take you to script it out? I don't script it out. Sometimes I'll use bullet points if I'm talking about specific things in a company, but most of the time it's just from the heart. See, here's what makes Howard, I feel, so unique inside of the business world. He said, the concepts that my words convey must be strategic in their intent. But the words themselves are spontaneous manifestations of my love for Starbucks. When you're talking about your product, your company, your leader, when you talk about the profession of direct selling, when you talk about your specific company, if you're a business owner, maybe you own a restaurant, a nightclub, anything, I don't care. Maybe you own a coffee shop. Do your words express your love? Howard goes on, he says, Mike Allman, one of our lead director and an experienced CEO, if you guys don't know, he's the CEO over at JCPenney, has said that communication is always important, but is even more essential when things are not working. Ensuring that communication is narrow, clear, and repetitive to set expectations and win people's trust. See, I believe sometimes that we can be hard-headed. If we're trying to understand something, sometimes our own blinders can keep us from seeing it. I think a lot of times the divorce rate in America happens this way. I think the failure rates in companies is because of this. Communication is always important, but it's even more essential when things are not working. During the tumultuous period in Starbucks history, what I said and how I said it, I believe, was key to tapping into our partners' passion, recapturing their faith, and redirecting their talents. Dennis Dottel over at Ignite 360 is that way. He's a very successful serial entrepreneur, owns several companies. And he has that same passion when he's trying to drive home points. He really wants to push forward. Doesn't mean I always understand him. But I tell you what, he's passionate and he's direct. See, we as leaders must capture the passion, the faith, and the talents of those that are working with us. Whether they're on our sales teams, our marketing teams, whether they're employees, vendors, suppliers, it doesn't matter. We have to drive this home. This is great. Listen to what Howard writes here, because I put the words wow beside you. Now, you guys know wow to me means words of wisdom. Listen to this. In any well-run retail business, there is, by definition, a maniacal focus on details. And there is. Anytime, I don't care, even if it's a retail, but you have to, starting out especially, you're going to be focused on every detail. Young companies must produce results every day or risk closing their doors. Anything with the slightest potential to add or detract from sales or earnings, the quality of the item, every customer interaction, the attitude of employees, every dollar spent is attended to with steadfast concern. I believe sometimes that's our failure as individuals when we're in marketing and sales. Call it customer service if you want to, but that interaction, that, that details of making sure that we are focused is what keeps us going. It's not about profit. It's not about and don't get me wrong, all that matters. But if you've listened to the first 11 chapters, you understand that sometimes the numbers can really look good. But at the end of the day, the numbers can be the downfall. Because the cracks in the foundation can cause a bigger problem because we don't keep our eye on the ball. Howard says in 2008, he felt strongly that that's what had happened to Starbucks. Why there exists an obvious limitation to what the leaders of a multi-billion dollar global organization can be expected to attend to, we had as a group strayed too far in the opposite direction. Now listen to this is powerful. We had defaulted, for example, to talking about national and global comps and rapid expansion. And when our comps went up, we assumed that the individual parts of the business, the distribution, partners' resources, entire geographic regions, were also healthy. See, and that's just not true. That's what causes issues. Listen to what he writes here. Like a doctor who measures a patient's height and weight every year without checking the blood pressure or the heart rate, Starbucks was not diagnosing itself at a level of detail that would help ensure its long-term success. We predicted future success on how many stores we opened during a quarter instead of taking the time to determine whether each of these stores would in fact be profitable. We thought in terms of millions of customers and thousands of stores instead of one customer, one partner, and one cup of coffee at a time. Listen to that. Let me say that again. We predicted future success on how many stores we were opening. Do we predict our future success on how many people we're recruiting? See, think about this for a second. We're looking at the mass numbers instead of the individual interaction. We can't stop short. We can't quit. You know, it's humorous to me sometimes. People will go 5 or 6 months and then change freaking direction. When it's a 2 to 3 year process to break through the numbers, just the critical mass, the geometric progression that it takes to move it to a next level. That's just the way it is. There's no way around that. But it starts with one-on-one interaction, taking and building off of where your core competency is, where you're the authority at, and never leaving that core. We've studied that already. Too many times, companies and individuals try to jump on the bandwagon of things. This last weekend, my good friend Todd Falcone was given a coaching session at the Real Savvy Success Women's Conference. And he made a statement. It's a powerful statement. He goes, I don't know any six-figure earner that works more than one company. Now, that's a very controversial subject. There are plenty of six-figure earners that actually have income coming in from more than one company. But Todd's focus, I mean, the whole premise of his training was focus. See, when you're young and when you're getting started, I'm a personal believer you can't do a boatload of stuff that's outside your core competency. After reading what Howard wrote here, even a company like Starbucks, if you get too many things you're trying to focus on to bring in the revenue, it dilutes what you really stand for. No right or wrong, just difference. See, this is how Howard was. When he saw it, he realized it. All of a sudden, predicting their future on how many stores they opened instead of the individual person. Listen to this. This is what happens. With such a mindset, many little things dangerously slip by unnoticed or at least went unacknowledged. How could one imperfect cup of coffee, one unqualified manager, or one poorly located store matter when millions of cups of coffee were being served in tens of thousands of stores? Great question. Phenomenal question. But everything starts with one. And that's what Howard was saying. He summed it up in one sentence. He said, we forgot that ones add up. See, it's the ones. One person, one interaction, one, and look, I don't care if it's internet or online, offline, it doesn't matter. It's that one connection that can change your life forever if you focus on it and you focus correctly. That's the crazy thing. Ones. Are you paying attention to the ones? Are you focused on the ones? Or are you looking at that over, that big, big 3,000-foot picture and missing the obvious? Listen to this. Grounding our leaders as well as myself in a more disciplined, detail-oriented mindset, down from the 30,000-foot view way of thinking about the business, is what I had to do. It was the first one of his earliest challenges. And I can see that. Man, when you're riding high, you're up there at the Seattle Command Center, and you got $10 billion a year rolling through the doors, all from coffee. But all of a sudden, he realized every individual Starbucks store was a single merchant and needed to be treated as such. Each one of them should be looked at and focused on. Not the broad picture of tens of thousands of stores, but each individual one. Listen to this. Everybody should hear this. Listen. When you start a business, you do not operate it from a lofty place because you can't afford to. I explained this to a room full of our top leaders one day. It is vitally important that we get back to the roots of the business, that we get back in the mud, I declared spontaneously. Get our hands in the mud. I literally pleaded, holding my hands out in front of me. I held on to this analogy because it made so much sense. And from that day on, I repeated it over and over and over. One day as he was walking through the home office, because he decided from when he came back as CEO, he had to get his hands dirty. He had to be in with the trenches, with the folks, looking, listening, interacting. And he was walking through. He said, a poster caught my eye. A pair of dirty, smudged hands, palms up, framed the words, "The world belongs to the few who are not afraid to get their hands dirty." And that's it in a nutshell. See, we all go through these things. We know where we're strong and we know where we're weak. We know what we're good at. We know what we're not. We have to drive it and strive to build something based on what we're good at. That's why sometimes people get into companies and they'll jump in for the money. They'll jump in for the wrong reasons. They're in a pinch financially, so they think, hey, this will work. It worked for other people. But they have no love for the product, for the leaders, for anything about it. And it doesn't work for them. They quit. But the great ones go out and find something that they can be passionate about, and then they start to drive it home. In other words, they get dirty. They get in the mud. They get back to the roots of the business in order to drive it home and drive it big. Folks, you got to don't just look at your 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 100 year plans. What is it you're doing specifically today, right this second? What action are you taking? Because at the end of the day, it's all about action. You have to do something. Words in and of themselves are not enough. Howard knew that. He sensed the people inside the company needed to see him and connect with him. He needed to be accessible. So he started showing up, started listening, started hanging out. When he came back, he was answering all his own emails, and all of a sudden he was getting 5,000 emails and just couldn't get it all done. But then he started picking up the phone and chatting with some of them. See, you've got to engage. It's through the engagement that you can change the world. This is one of the cool things. Howard writes, to more formatively involve our partners, I reinstated regularly scheduled open forums. Similar to a town hall meeting, an open forum has always been an opportunity for partners to hear directly from me or other senior leaders, especially on the heels of major announcements. The open forums were brief and unscripted. He focused on what was important, drove home the facts. But one thing about Howard, and I think we all should do this, sometimes it's tough when you're like me and you're on the radio more than you're on anything else, but he says, whether I was in front of one person or thousands, I remained extremely conscious of how people might interpret anything I did or said, who I talked to, my body language, whether I was smiling or pursing my lips in frustration. There was an inevitable spotlight on me, and I wanted to use it to my advantage. I strove to be authentic and frank while threading optimism in every communication. Yes, we had hard work and challenges ahead of us, but we would get through this difficult time. He's passionate about that. Any fear I had was overshadowed by my own enthusiasm and morning to night activity. Activity. If you want to build it and build it right, if you want to change your life, you have to be active. You've constantly got to be optimistic. You've got to be moving it to the next level. People want to follow leaders who are active. You can make mistakes, but you got to take action. You got to keep going. It doesn't matter if it's your marriage, having a child, growing a business, recruiting somebody new, having your best person quit. It's going to suck, but if you just keep the momentum going and you keep focused forward, it'll work. I'm going through that myself. Folks, look, listen, if you think it's easy being the SVP of sales of a technology firm that's fresh and new to direct selling, listen, it's not. Everything that I've been trained to do is basically different than what the company's done in the past. So you're working, you're tweaking, you're always moving forward. Companies used to having guys on the telephone with quotas. I'm used to going out there and building relationships, worrying about the numbers on the backside. I make deals, other people make sales. You go through this, but you constantly grow it forward. You constantly dig deeper. Is I'm constantly journaling, looking for things that are going to help me, looking for things that will help me understand more than what I need to do. Breaking through. My whole deal, it's called Max-Q. If you know anything about NASA, you know what I'm talking about here. The space shuttle has to be at a certain angle. It's about, I think it's less than 45 degrees. It's got to hit the ozone layer. And when it breaks through to the other side, it's called Max-Q is what it's called. And you break through that. Well, that's where I'm at right now. That's where a lot of us are. If you're listening to this call and you think leaders have it easy because we've made it through so many different hardships, I'm telling you, it's not that easy. You got to break through the max Q to make this thing happen. Howard started writing memos. I think I'm going to start taking this and using it. Here's a memo he writes. As I sat down to write this note at 6:30 a.m. Sunday morning, I'm enjoying a spectacular cup of Sumatra, brewed my favorite way in a French press. It's been 3 weeks since I returned as my role as CEO of the company that I love, and I wanted to share with you what I know to be true. Since 1971, we have been ethically sourcing and roasting the highest quality Arabic coffee, I can't ever say that word, in the world. We are in the people business and always have been. Our stores have become the third place in our communities, a destination where human connections happen tens of thousands of times a day. We have renewed clarity of purpose, and we are laser focused on our customer experience and returning our core to reaffirm our coffee authority. There will be cynics and critics, all with an opinion and a point of view, but this is not about them or competitors, although we must humbly respect the changing landscape and the many choices facing every consumer. I will lead us back to a place where we belong, but I need your help and support every step of the way. My expectations of you are high, but higher for myself. I am proud to be your partner. I know this to be true. Signed, Onward, Howard. His first memo was called the Transformation Memo, Communication 1, or Transformation Agenda, Communication 1. He wrote the first one January 8th. He'd written over 10 by the 1st of March. In over 20 years, he's written them like crazy. Folks, we got to get back in the mud. We got to dig deep. We got to make it happen. No excuses. Just bust your butt and make it happen. Man, I get excited reading this book. Tomorrow, A Reason to Exist, Chapter 13. You are going to love this one. It's a rocking one here. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow with us on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.